You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
What's your question for Governor Herbert?
Call 801-575-8255.
This is Let Me Speak to the Governor.
And thank you so much for joining us today for Let Me Speak to the Governor. I'm Maria Chaleos, along with Governor Gary Herbert. You can also text us your questions at 57500. We have John on the line. And John, what is your question for the governor today?
Governor, thank you. First of all, thank you for your service to the state of Utah. My question goes back to the homeless situation. I was born and raised in Salt Lake. Never in my 50 years have I been able to use Pioneer Park and the Rio Grande area and feel safe and comfortable. First of all, why has it taken so long? We've gotten to this point of so much lawlessness and crime. Why has it taken so long? Second is, what is your three-month plan to change this? I understand that the shelters got to be moved, long-term plans. There's got to be law enforcement. There's got to be people not prohibited to camp in that park. And number three is, I think putting homeless shelters into a bedroom community, several bedroom communities, is a huge mistake. There needs to be some type of a shelter that is money possibly donated by those of means that is out of bedroom communities.
Well, help me remember the three questions here. And let me just tell you, why has it taken so long? You know, the lead on this is the local governments. I mean, this is not unique to Salt Lake. We certainly have the same kind of situation in other cities in the state of Utah. We certainly see this as probably kind of a growing problem in other major metropolitan areas around the country. Drug addiction, the opioid crisis, which is labeled a crisis, which is part of the problem in these inner city issues, is a big part of it. And, you know, I think things kind of, the pendulum swings back and forth. You think things are being worked on and being handled satisfactorily, but they have not been. And the crime, the violent crime continues to grow. And so I guess there's a time when the population at large is upset, the representatives react. And that's certainly what happened. The Speaker of the House has taken this issue on here starting a year ago. He brought it to a higher profile. I recognized that in my State of the State address and said that we need to recognize that the state has a role to play here, not just Salt Lake City or not just Salt Lake County. And so that's led to this collaboration, and I'm glad that we have come together. It's sometimes for most people out of sight, out of mind. If you don't live in that area and don't see that area, you probably think everything's fine. But we recognize that it's not fine, and we need to make improvements. So the process is going to be, you've got to start by stopping the crime. We want to make sure that people are not confused and thinking homelessness is the same thing as lawlessness. It's not. There certainly is some corollaries there, but we understand the humanity of the people there. We want to make sure that people's civil rights are going to be respected, and we want to mainly help those people who are willing to help themselves. And so we're going to be developing some programs, in fact, to help those who maybe don't have skills to get a job but are able-bodied, maybe those who are drug addiction problems, substance abuse, see what we can do to help get them into treatment. We've designed drug courts to do that very thing, and so we're going to utilize those at a greater level. So we hope to improve people's lives and help them to help themselves. We are talking about providing job opportunities where people are going to be asked in exchange for the treatment and help and shelter and food to do some work. It may be more menial labor, but as they develop skills, it can be more meaningful labor. But we're going to say there's a dignity that comes and self-respect that comes with work, and we're going to see if we can't help people get work and have a productive day of working and serving people who are paying their bills for them. I think that's an important aspect of it. But it's got to start with getting rid of the criminal aspect there, those who are preying on these vulnerable people, the drug pushers and others, those who are robbing people. We see all kinds of crime that's taking place there. That's got to stop. So that's got to be the first emphasis. And when you arrest people, when you take them off the street, there's got to be a place to put them. Again, I've suggested Oxbow may be a great place for us to invest some money and utilize that resource. Thirdly, you talked about, you know, where do you put people? And if you're going to not have them all concentrated in one area here of downtown Salt Lake, which you've indicated has been a challenge for many, many, many years, the question is, where do you put them? That's been a challenge I think the city and the county have tried to address. It's kind of one of those things where nobody wants them in their backyard, and yet we know we've got to put them someplace. And how we put them and how we house them, what we do with them while they're there is important. Putting them in bedroom communities is certainly not the best choice. It may be not the only choice. I don't know. That's something that is being done by the city and the county as far as location. The state has a role to play. We don't want to trample on the rights of the local government elected by the people with their zoning ordinances and where they're going to house these people and where they're going to have these homeless shelters. The state's been working very closely with the communities, and we have, in fact, had great success in reducing chronic homelessness. Not just homeless itself, but chronic homelessness where we have generational problems. That we've done a good job in reducing that by nearly 50%. It's a complex issue. It's an emotional one. I think we are turning the corner on it after our meeting of yesterday. I'm anxious to see what we can do over these next 6 months to a year, but I think we can certainly improve the situation throughout the state, and certainly we can clear up the problem here in the Rio Grande area in Pioneer Park.
John, did he answer all of your questions?
Yes, I appreciate that.
All right, John.
Like I say, Pioneer Park is a jewel that's just waiting to be polished, so I look forward to any success with that.
Well, I'm going to invite you to come down and play tennis with me in a year.
I would love to.
All right, John, thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
Governor, one of our first text questions is, you were talking about water and increasing water rates to get people to conserve, and this obviously coming from a farmer who's wondering if you plan to raise the rates for farmers as well.
You know, it's yet to be determined. Again, what we don't want to do is have waste of water. And agriculture water has been subsidized by the taxpayer for good and noble purposes because we want to have a healthy agricultural business environment throughout the state of Utah. For me, I'd like to think that Utah can be self-supporting in all of our areas, which means providing our own food, our own energy, having a healthy, diverse economy and the state of Utah. So we don't want to do anything that's going to make it tough on the farmer, but we do need to make sure that we're being priced fairly. And that's kind of an equity situation. We will get recommendations, I think, will come from our experts in water, and that will certainly have input from our agricultural interests out there. And then eventually we'll have to decide, is there a policy change that needs to occur to make sure there's equity and fairness in how we price water? At the end of the day, first is conservation. Second is develop additional water sources as we have the opportunity. That's going to cost some money. And the best thing for us to do is to save. That's the easiest way to spread the water is to conserve and not use as much. But we're going to have some development too. So I think the pricing will help us conserve.
We have about 30 seconds to our bottom of the hour news. So I'm going to take one more of these text questions. This person asking is... the Hearing Protection Act, how is the Hearing Protection Act going, and is there any way that we can push it forward?
The Hearing Protection Act.
I'm not sure what that is, Governor, other than something that is aimed at protecting people in commerce. I'm not sure.
I think we're going to have to get back to that question.
We need
a little more clarification on here. Are we talking about court hearings?
No, I don't believe so. I believe
the ear hearing.
I believe it's ear hearing, but we're going to get some clarification from our texter on that.
Maybe it has kind of OSHA
and get
kind
back
of a
to
thing.
That. Okay, so let's go to our next caller. We have Alan in Ogden. Hi, excuse me. Let me make sure Alan's potted up here. Alan, hi. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, Governor. I just had a question. It's kind of actually listening to you. I've come up with a new question, and it's in relation to jobs and affordability. I think one of the problems in Utah is that we have a really low unemployment rate, but we have a very high underemployment rate. And when I look at the cost of housing and what it's doing, I don't know how people with a basic menial job without skills, or even a touted manufacturing job in Utah, which pays 8, 9, 10, 12 bucks an hour, can afford housing at this rate. What can the state do to bring in quality jobs that increase the living wage? It's interesting because if you look at someone making between 8 to 10 bucks an hour, their quality of life isn't much different than someone on public assistance. And yet they spend the whole time of their, you know, most of their day away from their family, you know, working a job that maybe they don't like, to get nowhere. In fact, oftentimes they get further and further behind. So how can you increase
that? Well, the great question, and certainly one that's a reflection of what is happening in the marketplace. And so clearly we want to have high-paying jobs here in Utah and economic opportunity for people. Generally speaking, as you look at how much people get paid, there's a correlation between that and their education levels, their training, their skills. We're having a significant emphasis on getting skills to our young people, our students, as they become college and career ready to go on and, in fact, get skills that align up with the demands of the marketplace. For example, if you are an engineer, there is just hundreds of opportunities out there for you now on a very good, high-paying job basis if you have that kind of education and skill. If you're just a blue-collar worker, those jobs are, in fact, not paying much money, and consequently, you'll be relegated to a lower-paying income. During the Great Recession, those that had college degrees and advanced education, the unemployment rate never exceeded 5% during the Great Recession, the worst economic times in the history of our state since the Great Depression. If you had a high school diploma, it was about 10% unemployment. And if you had less than a high school diploma, it was about 15% unemployment. A direct correlation. Our economy is expanding and is diversified. The good news is our household income is about 13th or 14th highest in the nation, which means our incomes are going up. Our personal income growth is about 5.4%. So income is going up on a personal basis too. So we are bringing in much better and higher paying jobs and economic opportunity when we have people outside of Utah that look at us and say, the economy that's the healthiest, the most diverse in America today is in Utah. I mean, something is going right. It's not perfect, and we're not going to rest on our laurels. I'm very concerned about parts of rural Utah and the lack of economic opportunity. But the trend, the direction of salaries is going up. The economic opportunity is there in a significant way. Our GDP is growing at twice the national average. We are lifting people out of poverty in Utah better than any state in America. Our poverty rates in Utah are half the national average. So, again, all the data, the statistics show a healthy, growing economy of economic opportunity, and people, in fact, have upward mobility better in Utah than any place in America. Newsweek magazine's written about this. Bloomberg News has written about this. Forbes has written about this. The New Yorker magazine has written about upward mobility. The American dream is better in Utah than any place in America today. So those are good news things. It's getting better. It's getting improvement. And I expect that we'll continue to be a very healthy economy going forward.
And you were listening to Let Me Speak to the Governor on KSL News Radio. We're going to break for our bottom of the hour news. You can call us at text us at 57500 or call us at 575-8255.